Hey, I like the music. Hey, well, welcome to Out of Line. This is Brian Feldman, and we are here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. And if you're still doing Twitter, so are we. Follow us at Out of Line 1340 AM. We do Facebook, too. Out of Line is spelled O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. And again, we are here every Sunday morning, the Fox Sports Radio 1340. Or if you're streaming on the Las Vegas Sports Network website, we do that live as well. Check it out. And hey, new likes are always appreciated again on the Facebook page, and callers are encouraged and welcome. I'm no different than you. I love sports and I'm full of opinions. I just get a microphone and a producer. So if something interests you, or better yet, if something pisses you off, pick up the phone and lay it on us. My producer extraordinaire Magnum is here as well. And Magnum, what do you think? Let's get this show on the road.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Wayne Fon promised to restore the roar, and did he ever? The Detroit Lions find themselves tonight just one football game away from the Super Bowl.
This is what it's all about, and gosh, words just can't describe how this feels.
You wonder what that is. It is time for What's on Tap. Pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. The sound you just heard was a short-lived dream of Detroit Lions fans 25 years ago, right after they won their only playoff game in the Super Bowl era. And keep in mind that next Sunday, we will watch Super Bowl 51. That's how long it's been. The man who played a huge role in that win was former NFL quarterback Eric Kramer. After the first break, Eric will be joining the show. Aside from being a Detroit legend, he is also the owner of a very compelling and unique story that ultimately resulted in a new lease on life. Of course, we'll be dedicating some time to Super Bowl 51. And being that this show does center around sports and originates in Las Vegas, we will never forget about UNLV. And yesterday, the Runnin' Rebels left a very bad second-half smell on the court at the Event Center in San Jose, California. And that stench was absolutely rotten the closer you got to the Rebels' basket. It was so bad that most of the time, the basketball was refusing to go in the hoop. Well, get into that a little bit later on. Also coming up, the weekly features Blazin' and Fact This. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in draft beer, food, and gaming. The only majors are fun and good times. Bring your Rebel ID and get your first beer for free. Enroll 24 hours a day, Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Great place to learn more. Go to bubbysuniversity.com and get filled in. Well, last week, as you know, we set up the Super Bowl that's coming up next week. And, you know, I said a couple weeks ago, and we played it last week, Magnum and I did, letting you know that, you know, my feeling was 3 weeks before Christmas, or I shouldn't say 3 weeks, at Christmas time, I was saying it was going to be Green Bay and New England. I'm half right. Green Bay just too depleted by the time they got to the NFC Championship game against the Falcons that were healthier. And the bottom line is they were just a better, well-rounded team than the Green Bay Packers. 44-21 in that one. And now Atlanta heads to Houston to play in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. And like I kept saying to my girlfriend, Shauna, during the AFC Championship game, she's a huge Steelers fan. I kept saying, when she said, hey, I think we can do it, I asked her one question, Magno. I kept saying to her, is Tom Brady playing? She didn't like it. I kept saying, then I said, who had the number one defense in the league? Because, you know, defense wins championships, right? And they have the best quarterback in history, who's pushing 40 but still playing like he's 27. So, again, my question was, is Tom Brady playing? The answer was yes, and the New England Patriots did exactly what I thought they would do, and I think what most people thought they would do, and that was beat up the Pittsburgh Steelers 36-17. Were you surprised, Mags?
No shocking value there at all. You know, I think we both thought the Steelers were not going to be much of a match for the Patriots. And in fact, I'm almost wishing that Kansas City hadn't choked and played a little bit better and beaten Pittsburgh, because I rather would have seen this what KC would have had to offer. I don't think the Chiefs would have won, but I do think they would have made it a little more competitive. They would have gotten that playoff victory under their belt, so maybe they would have had a little more confidence. It's just a mismatch when you have Belichick against Tomlin, Brady against Roethlisberger. There's just no fun in that. And I know Steeler fans, they want their team to do well. They want to be in the AFC title game, but they have to face reality. The Steelers' defense and the scheme that they run is not to beat the Patriots and Tom Brady. And until they change that, they're going to get their asses kicked by the Patriots every single time they play. And it's not because of Roethlisberger. It's because their defensive scheme sucks. They don't play their defense to the strengths of Brady. When Rex Ryan, who's a buffoon, was coaching the New York Jets and the Buffalo Bills, he built his defense to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. Now, there were games where he got his ass kicked, but he's really the only guy, even going back to Baltimore, when he was the defensive coordinator, who has been able to figure out how to at least slow down New England occasionally. I mean, Rex Ryan went into New England with Mark Sanchez in the playoffs and beat a 14-2 Patriots team that had kicked their ass 45-3 earlier in the season. So,
you know what they say, though, Magnum. Even the sun shines on how does that go on a dog's ass once in a while?
Yeah, but the point is Rex Ryan had something that he was able to throw into.
He did. I mean, maybe a little bit of a wrinkle, and I'm not going to disagree with you on the fact that Rex Ryan, I don't know that much on how well the Jets did and against Tom Brady. You would be in a big Jets fan. What I will say is this. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick together are truly magic. The New England Patriots are magical. I'm not a fan. I think it's not that I'm not a fan. I think like everyone else out there, if you're not from Boston or Foxborough or that area, you're sick and tired of the New England Patriots. So we're all going to be somewhat haters. I think that's a normal thing. But what I will say is this. Looking at this game right now, I see a 3-point New England favorite. By 3. And yet I look at the intangible, Mags, and I'm blown away that it's a 3-point. I think that it's only because this game should be an 8-point spread. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care how good Matty Ice is playing. Look at all of the intangibles. Let's add it all up. Because when you do, you see that the Patriots have Tom Brady, who has 4 rings and is about to play in an unprecedented 7th Super Bowl. Nobody in history has done it. Tom Brady will be the first next Sunday. Okay? Matt Ryan has 3 playoff wins in his career. 2 coming this year. New England has 21 players that have played in the Super Bowl. The Atlanta Falcons have 4 players with Super Bowl experience. New England has the #1 defense in the National Football League. And the #1 defense going up against the #1 scoring offense, which, by the way, the Falcons have, meeting in the Super Bowl, the defense has been victorious 5 of 6 times. That's right, they're 5-1. And by the way, Mags, did I say Tom Brady was playing?
Yeah, I think you could throw the stats out because New England's defense, there's a little bit of a fraud element to that because, in all honesty, outside of Ben Roethlisberger last week, they haven't played a good quarterback all season. So I'm not going to look at that as the overwhelming stat and say, oh, New England's going to win the game. I do think New England will win the game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be fairly close because New England doesn't blow anybody out in the Super Bowl. Every Super Bowl with them is close. I mean, they could have 7 wins or 6 wins, I mean, or they could have 1. Every game has been close with them in the Super Bowl, and, I mean, let's be realistic. If not for maybe the dumbest play call in the history of the NFL, Tom Brady's going for #3 or #4 tonight, not #5. So, you know, it's like we could look at Brady and we could look at Belichick, but the reality is they haven't blown anybody out in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that they're not going to blow out the Falcons. They very well might.
Max,
I just think I just think that that when you say they have the number one defense in the NFL, I think you got to look at who they're playing, because here's the thing. Everybody looks at Atlanta and say, oh, well, Atlanta has the 27th ranked defense. Yeah, but they've been playing ahead for most of the season. So teams are going to be throwing the ball like crazy when you're down two scores to a team like Atlanta. The only option you have is to throw. So those numbers are a little bit skewed, I think, just based on you have to look at who they've played, and then you have to look at who Atlanta's why teams have been throwing the ball so much against them.
Here's what I'm going to say to you. I'm a little confused because who the Patriots lost to in the Tom Brady era in the Super Bowl?
They lost to the Giants.
How many times?
Twice.
This is going to be Tom Brady's seventh Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
So you said he's got only three rings. He's going for
his fourth. He's got four.
Correct. He's going for his fifth ring. And there's one other player that has five rings in Super Bowl history, and he won all five of them that he's been in. You mentioned him last week, Charles Haley. Won I think, two with the 49ers and three with the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. Okay. So Tom Brady's going for that. Nobody's ever played in seven Super Bowls. And to say that it's not an intangible, and yeah, they haven't played a quarterback as hot as Matty Ice, and I grant you all of that. Bill Belichick is one of the greatest schemers there is out there, and defensively, they are going to throw wrinkles at Matt Ryan that he has not seen this year. The bottom line is it comes down to experience and all that, and you can say you can throw the stats out, and yeah, you can, because you have strange things happen all the time, and it's a one-game scenario, and I think Atlanta is the best team New England is going to play this year right now. They are at the top of their game, just like the Patriots are. But again, I think a three-point spread, you're nuts not to take the Patriots. Put it this way, if you're going to take the Falcons, definitely take them on the money line.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, do not take the Falcons in 3 points, because if they lose, it's going to be by more than 3 points, in my opinion. If they win, it could be a tight game, but it doesn't matter because they're favored. I like the Atlanta Falcons, and I think that can they beat the New England Patriots? Would I be shocked? Would we be falling off our chairs next week at Buffalo Wild Wings? Absolutely not. It can happen, but like I said, let's take everything into account. Experience does mean something. You're talking about, let's go to the coaches. I didn't even throw that intangible in their mags. You've got Bill Belichick also getting ready for his seventh Super Bowl as a head coach and 10th Super Bowl overall. Okay? Quinn, a couple of playoff games in there this year.
Yeah,
I mean, but as far as a head coach goes.
Yeah, but Quinn does have a Super Bowl ring.
He does, with the Seattle Seahawks.
And for the most part, until that fourth quarter, he pretty much held Tom Brady in check in that Super Bowl. It wasn't until the fourth quarter where Brady was able to figure out their defense and start throwing the ball. And I still stand by it, if not for the dumbest play call in the history of the NFL. Seattle, Dan Quinn has two Super Bowl rings. But it is what it is. Patriots won that game. Tom Brady was unbelievable in the fourth quarter. And I'm excited for the game. I mean, I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be a good game. I'm rooting for Atlanta, but I do think the Patriots are going to win.
You know what's funny is the drama so far, there's always drama the week before the Super Bowl. But right now, there's only a little bit of drama, Mags, and it actually is big drama, but they're trying to downplay it, and they're trying to get all of us to shut up about it. And that's coming right from the top. The drama is with Roger Goodell, because the bottom line is this man said he has no problem with going to New England and Tom Brady and how great the Patriots are for the NFL. But the truth of the matter is he has avoided Foxborough like the plague for the last 2 years since Deflategate, since he sentenced Tom Brady. He's avoided it. And the whole thing is, Mags, is, you know, there's rumor. I wonder what kind of lines they're going to put on this. There's got to be some prop bets on what's going to happen. There's already prop bets on who the MVP is going to thank first and what have you, or the winning quarterback. I'll tell you right now, what's going to happen if the Patriots win is Roger Goodell's going to get up there. He's going to hand the Lombardi Trophy to Bill Belichick, shake his hand, give him a little pat on the back, pat Robert Kraft on the back, and congratulate Tom Brady. If Tom Brady's the MVP, he'll hand him the trophy. And they'll keep smiling until the cameras are off, and then they will get as far away from each other as they possibly can. But they do know, and Roger Goodell understands. He's a very popular man among the owners. He has made them and the league a boatload of money, more than any commissioner in the history of the National Football League, number one. And he also understands that Robert Kraft is as rich and as powerful as any owner in the National Football League. So you got to figure out a way to get along because they're part of the same family. But right now, and for the past couple years, they are brothers that can't stand each other. But yet, they definitely, without question, need each other. So the drama will be a little bit at the end. It'll be fun to watch to see what happens. That's the incentive for me to want to see New England win. Just kind of a little bit to see what happens at the end. Will they put this behind them? I want to see the body language. Will we see a little bit of perspiration? But that's the only drama so far. So we're still waiting for somebody to solicit a hooker. That happened the last time I think Atlanta played in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Eugene Robinson.
Eugene Robinson solicited a hooker. So something's going to happen. There's a bar fight. Somebody's going to get killed. Maybe Pac-Man Jones will work his way down to Houston and cause some problems down there. But we're waiting for some drama with one of the teams. Right now, like I said, it's all coming from the top. And I'm actually a little bit excited about that scenario of Goodell having to stand there with Kraft, Belichick, and Brady and hand out trophies. I think that would be somewhat interesting. Hey, I got to tell you something. We're going to take a break here. We'll talk more about this, and we'll try to get some more Super Bowl in as we get on. We got Blazin' coming up. We've got Fact This, and like I said, we will definitely get into a little bit of Runnin' Rebels basketball. Just a horrible loss last night. And but again, we'll get into that. And of course, Eric Kramer coming up after the break. We'll get a hold of him, and I'm really looking forward to this guy because, like I said, for a brief period of time, we had delusions and Super Bowl dreams in Detroit.
Listen, we had two great games. I was in Boston 2 years ago for the divisional and the championship games. I try to get to as many stadiums as I can. But, you know, we have two great games, and you've got to choose. And frankly, the focus should be on the players, the coaches, and the great game. And that's the way it was this weekend and the way it should be. I wouldn't be doing my job if somebody wasn't unhappy with a decision that you make or where you're doing it. Robert and I can disagree about things. We have a healthy respect for one another, but that's true with any owner. And that doesn't affect my relationship or the fact that we work together to try to make the NFL better ultimately.
There you heard it. Roger Goodell. Is he lying? Is he telling the truth? I think he's lying, but I mean, do you really blame the guy for lying? How can you blame him for lying when what he's doing is being politically correct? We talked about it before the break. I mean, the bottom line is the guy has to say what he has to say because he knows now he is going to a New England Patriots game. Might not be in Foxborough, but he is attending a New England Patriots game. And it was bound to happen sooner or later. The Patriots make the playoffs pretty much every year. They go deep in the playoffs pretty much every year. Sooner or later, he was going to have to confront Tom Brady. I guarantee you, internally right now, anyone that wants to give me a call, disagree with me, 876-1340, give me a buzz. But Roger Goodell is praying for the Atlanta Falcons to win the Super Bowl. I can promise you right now, he would much rather hand the trophy to Arthur Blank and Quinn and Matt Ryan than the other three. You already know we talked about it enough. Hey, we are still attempting to get a hold of Eric Kramer. Hopefully we'll be able to track him down this morning. I haven't heard from him since the middle of last week, and kind of my fault. I should have gotten in touch with him again, but hopefully we will hook that up here eventually. Mags is working on it, but right now I guess the phone's going straight to voicemail, so hopefully we'll get the guy. Anyway, you know, as far as the one of the other things that I want to talk about is looking at this game right now and where we're at with as far as the Super Bowl goes, the calls in this game. What do you think the officiating is going to be like? The officiating this year has been so incredibly tight. They have made games longer, and people blamed the presidential election and the race for the lower ratings. And the ratings didn't improve after the race, after the election. I will grant you that. However, so many calls this year have just been questionable. And we've seen so much poor officiating. The quarterbacks are getting protected to the point that maybe in a year or two, we're going to see them wearing flags. And it's something that has to be addressed. The games cannot be lengthened anymore. I do like, now we've had some time with it, I really like the fact that the extra points, when they kick them, are longer. It has made it interesting. It has changed the dynamics of the game a little bit. I like that. I don't even mind the kickoffs being moved back or being moved up as well to try to induce more less run backs. All that's not a problem. My problem is that they are taking away, that they're looking at clean, real good clean hits, and they are calling them targeting. They are fining people for clean hits that aren't even using their helmet, that throwing their shoulder at vicious times. This is the game of football. And I really hope that now in the Super Bowl, they loosen up a great deal. I did think it was a little bit looser as the playoffs went on. I thought they were letting a little bit more go, but it's football. You know, Mags, one of the really cool things that I've been watching in the last 24 hours, I don't know if you checked it out on the NFL Network, they are showing every Super Bowl. They've been showing them from game one all the way through. When I left today, we were already midway through the 90s. So hopefully I'll get home to see a few more. But it's really exciting, and it's reminding me. But you know what I see in these Super Bowls, Mag? And this is just the Super Bowls. I am seeing great hits. I mean, monumental hits. Hits that have that changed games, that in today's game would be called penalties and would change the outcome. And that is a crime, because history, Magnum, I'm telling you right now, brother, it would be changed if these rules have been in place since day one. There would probably be different winners. We'd see a whole different element of Super Bowls. You might see in one case the Minnesota Vikings might have a ring in their four losses. The Buffalo Bills might have a ring. If you watch the games and you see some of the hits that were made, they would have been game-changing, and those have been penalties.
Well, the NFL's problem, I think, is a combination of a couple of different things. A, you have way too many stoppages. You know, I've had the luxury, and you could say it's not a luxury, but I've had the luxury of watching the last two Super Bowls in Asia. Last Super Bowl starts at 7 in the morning in Taiwan, where I was at. I watched it with a guy from South Africa. I watched it with a Filipino girl. And we watched it with a couple of Taiwanese who had never in their life watched an NFL football game. And all of them came away from it saying, this is way too complicated to understand. There's only like 10 seconds of action, and then there's a minute stoppage. I can't follow it because it's just way too complicated. Now, they haven't grown up with the game, so for them it is complicated. But the point that they made was there's 10 seconds of action, then there's a minute for stoppage. 10 seconds, a minute of stoppage. 10 seconds, minute of stoppage. Punt, 3-minute commercial break, repeat. Kickoff after a touchdown. So team scores a touchdown, extra point. Commercial, come back, kickoff, 10 seconds. Another 3-minute commercial break. There's way too many commercials in an NFL football game. There's way too much downtime. And whether we want to admit it or not, you're in my generation is fine with it. But the younger generation, they want action. They like the NBA until the last 2 minutes. They like soccer. They like hockey. They like lacrosse. All these games that we never watched as kids, they like. You want to know why?
Speed.
There's speed. It's not hard to follow. There's not timeouts after every single play. It's consistent. Yeah, there's downtime in soccer. Guy gets hurt. He goes to the ground. A couple minutes, they come out, check on him. But other than that, they don't go to commercial. You're able to listen to what the commentators are talking about. I mean, I'm biased because I love soccer. It's my favorite thing to watch on TV, as you could tell. Every Sunday morning you come in here, there's a soccer game on the TV.
Like right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're watching Manchester United and Wigan. But for millennials, there's just way too much downtime and stoppage. They lose focus. I look at my son. My son's 9. He cannot sit and watch a football game. When I was 9, that's all I did with my dad. I'd sit and watch the Jets on a Sunday afternoon, or I'd sit and watch the Cowboys, whoever was on. I can remember as a kid, we'd always watch the West Coast games, and it's damn cold in New Jersey, damn cold in Detroit, where you're from. And we're watching those games at the LA Coliseum, the Sun, the Babes, Bo Jackson. I knew all that stuff as a 9-year-old. My son knows nothing because he just doesn't have none of them, not just him. It's an instant gratification society, and they want the payout right then and now.
Well, I also think, Max, there's so many more options now with the UFC, with soccer really, really infiltrating itself into the United States. But, you know, I agree with you 100%. When I was a kid, Max, this is dating myself, but I would sneak awake, turn on the TV, play with the rabbit ears a little bit upstairs, and get in Monday Night Football when my parents didn't know, and I just because I relished the halftime highlights with Howard Cosell. It's what got me into football. It really did. I loved it was the passion that he put into creating those highlights. Mm-hmm. As a kid, I was so intrigued. It's ultimately what got me into doing what I'm doing right now is I love that guy and I love the halftime highlights and I did like football. It was a different game. I understood playing it. It was a violent game. I played it partially because of that.
Well, that's the other thing. You don't see kids in the park ever playing football.
Not anymore. And, you know, the thing is, what's sad is, as we talk about it, and again, it's going to lengthen the game, where they need to figure out a way to shorten it, because one of the things I'm a big advocate of, Mags, if you're going to use instant replay to fix things and correct things,
you got to get them right.
You have got to use instant replay for penalties that are bogus, that you've got to have a coach be able to say, wait a minute, man, that guy tripped over his own feet, or that ball was definitely catchable, not uncatchable, and replay it and let the guy in the booth make a decision, because you're replaying everything else, but you're still letting the human element take control of a game where you and I both know, and anybody that follows the sport of football, you can call holding or pass interference on almost every single play. So, But then again, now we're talking about extending the game even more and disenchanting people even more with the game. So where does it come in? It's the penalties that they call. You have to loosen up. But yes, you want to prevent injuries. Yes, CTE has really been called to all of our attention, and it does have to be addressed and dealt with. But in the same respect, everybody who plays this game understands what it is. One of the famous lines from the movie North Dallas 40 back in the 70s was, a player has to understand the difference between pain and injury. And that's the game. That's the game that we know, that we love, that we watch it. And yes, do everything you can to make it safer, but don't take away from the fact that it is what it is. It is the modern day gladiators. And like I said, when you look at the violence and the blows to the head in the UFC, are we really complaining about the National Football League? I'm just saying, listen, we got to take a break. Coming up, we got Blazing. You're going to definitely like that. Fact, this is coming up, and we're still going to talk some Rebels basketball. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. Always gets me bopping. Bopping's an old school word, man. I'm definitely dating myself. Hey, it's time for Blazing. This is from Buffalo Wild Wings to 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, right by Centennial Hills Hospital. At Buffalo Wild Wings, you'll experience two happy hours featuring $4 apps. The place is surrounded by flat screens and TVs, so you never miss a play. Tons of draft beer, spirits, and wine. And, of course, there is no place better in America than Buffalo Wild Wings for wings, beer, and sports. I will be there next week along with Chris Wynn. We will be having a good time. We'll be there doing the show live. We would love everyone to come down. You've heard the promos. Please come down, visit us. You have no idea all the stuff I'm giving away. I can't even mention it all, but certificates to Bubby's, Buffalo Wild Wings. You wouldn't believe the T-shirts, a lot of other things as well. Boca tournament entries. We got a lot going on, so make sure you come on down. That's at the 215 in North Durango next week. Well, it is time for Blazing, and about 3 weeks ago, I heard Colin Cowherd say something I hadn't thought about, but is absolutely true. People have stopped talking about Steph Curry. Last year at this time, I don't think there was a day that went by that we were not talking about Steph Curry, or I didn't hear or say something about him. The way the Warriors lost to the Cavaliers in the finals seemed to disenchant everybody with perhaps the game's greatest perimeter scorer. Last night, he demanded again to be part of today and every day's conversation.
Well, look, three times the size Norman does, you feel like you're always in rhythm. You have guys take great screens, some deep checks that went in, and it's one of those quarters that everything seems to go right.
I've seen him do some pretty incredible things, but, you know, you can kind of see when he's going into one of the modes. I think it started with two shots, the half-court shot, and then once he came out and he hit that first pull-up in the third quarter, you can kind of see that you know, about to be one of those type of nights. He can miss his first 10 shots, and I feel like he's still in rhythm and still can get it going pretty quickly. So he scored probably about, 12 points in a couple minutes. And, you know, after that, you see the ball go through the rim a few times. You're officially in your zone.
People write this, but like Steph gonna Steph, what does that mean? I don't know. I've read it. Okay, well, whatever that means, that's I think that's what happened.
I love that by Steve Kerr. He hears a saying, Steph is just being Steph, and that's what happened. Steph is Steph, or whatever it was. It was pretty funny. But all Steph Curry did last night was drop 43 points on the LA Clippers. And did I mention that he didn't play 1 second of the fourth quarter? Those 43 points included 9 3-pointers, and that makes it 13 times in his career that he has scored at least 9 threes in a game. That is an NBA record. As a matter of fact, the second player on the list is J.R. Smith, who has 5 games in which he has hit 9 3-pointers. Yeah, I would say Steph Curry was, is, and will continue to be blazing. One other blazing I got to give an honorable mention to, the down in Australia. If you stayed up to the wee hours of the morning, you're a big tennis fan, you had a dream matchup of days gone by, and it was so cool to see Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal go at it again in a major final. And that gives Roger Federer 18 major titles as he beat Rafael Nadal this morning, or this afternoon if you're in Australia. And I got to give him an honorable mention, man. That guy is, I'm going to say, you know, we go through this all the time, but this guy's the greatest tennis player that's ever lived, man. To be playing still where he's at right now, at the level he's at, and to be able to win another major is absolutely incredible. This guy has never lost interest in his sport to be able to play at this level for so many years. Both of you, though, I'll give it to both of you. Nadal, Federer, you guys are blazing. But what do you got for me, Mags?
I'm going to stick with tennis. You know, last week I had Coco Vandeweghe, tennis player, American.
She's hot.
Yeah, she was blazing. But today, I'm going to go with Serena Williams. She defeats Venus in the championship, wins her 23rd major, which is a record in the modern era. I don't care, modern era, whatever they called it before, the dead ball era, I don't care what they call it. She is the greatest female tennis player, and arguably, because I do think there may be a case for some other people, Babe Didrikson-Zaharis comes to mind, but that was a completely different time. What Serena Williams has done, not only in tennis, but in the sports world, she has crossed color lines, she has inspired young children all over the world who come from poverty and come from dire conditions, between her and Venus, both of them, from Compton, California, to where they both have come and where they are in the world today, in the tennis world and the sports world. Simply amazing. I mean, you need to watch her. I don't care if you don't like tennis, you love tennis. Watching Serena Williams play, you are watching history, because you are watching probably the greatest female athlete, not just in tennis, not just in the world, but ever. And I can't stress it enough. You know, they are an inspiration to millions of children all over the world. And I think it's phenomenal that they met in the finals. It was fitting that Serena would defeat Venus to get her 23rd. And, you know, Serena, blazing, congratulations. It's pretty incredible what she's accomplished. And that doesn't take away anything from what Venus has accomplished, because she's outstanding as well. I mean, two of the best women's tennis players in the history of the game. They're sisters. They've been doing it for, seems like, 20 years. Just incredible.
It's a great story. And how many times did the two of them play in their backyard and have, say, we're playing at Wimbledon in the finals now, and then get an opportunity to do that in the Australian Open at this point in both their careers? Extremely cool, and I would say definitely blazing. Blazing again brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, right by Centennial Hills Hospital. At Buffalo Wild Wings, you'll experience 2 happy hours featuring $4 apps, The place is surrounded by flat screens and TVs, so you'll never miss a play. Tons of draft beer, spirits, and wine. And, of course, there is no place better in America than Buffalo Wild Wings for wings, beer, and sports. And, again, next Sunday for the Super Bowl, come in the morning. Check out Adeline. Meet us live. I got lots of stuff to give away. Would love to have you down there. And then we'll be there again late in the afternoon for the Super Bowl party that they're having. And specials, man, it's going to be a great time. I really hope you come down there and hook up with us. Well, it is time for another feature that I really like, and that is our new one. Well, about a couple months old. We kind of kicked this off in 2017, but it is called Fact This.
Out of Line, Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
The best thing that ever happened to the Detroit Lions was you staying in school, Sam Bradford, because even though they suck, they would have sucked worse with you, and you would have been another real bad draft pick. You would have been another, man, I don't even know that you're as good as Joey Harrington was. I still don't believe that Matthew Stafford was a number one NFL pick, but you know what? He was a hell of a lot better number one pick than you were, Sam Bradford. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, the only reason I have ever had any interest in the Pro Bowl is because it was played in Honolulu, Hawaii. And I always like looking on the sidelines. I mean, if you've been to Hawaii, it's still my favorite place on earth, and I liked it. They took it away from Hawaii for 7 years. After 30 straight years there, they took it away for seven, and they brought it back last year. And what did they do? They took it away this year again. It always has been the weakest of professional sports all-star games. And a couple years ago, when it wasn't being played in Hawaii, Roger Goodell was so disappointed with the players' performance, he threatened to pull the game if he ever saw that lack of effort again. You want to know what this is? This is my opinion. Here's what I think about the Pro Bowl today in Orlando. I don't. Fact this. Bob Huggins, the head basketball coach at West Virginia, has now made a total of $100,000 in bonus money just playing against the Kansas Jayhawks. It's a worthy incentive, as he has beaten them the last four times they have played. He donates all the money to charity, but Kansas is never even close to a gimme, as we all know. But because of Huggins, West Virginia's no gimme either. He always puts up a great defense. This guy is a mastermind basketball coach. And to me, this proves that Bob Huggins should be mentioned a lot more often when we talk about elite college basketball coaches. $25,000 he gets for beating Kansas, and he gets his team up for doing that every year. And trust me, they're not getting into that $25,000. It's all going to charity, but that's Bob Huggins. This guy, where he was successful at Cincinnati, had some issues. We all know about that, some alcohol issues. Went to West Virginia. And, you know, when you say a coach is an intangible, or, you know, if you get great players, coaches don't matter. Bob Huggins doesn't get a lot of guys that go to the NBA from West Virginia, but he gets a lot of guys that compete at the Division I level. Bob Huggins is as good as it gets out there right now. And I'll tell you right now, Marvin Menzies, you know, the jury's not even out on him, because this is a pass. I'll say it a million times. I say it on Rebel Extra all the time. But, man, would you want Bob Huggins coming to UNLV, Magnum?
Well, he was a guy who was thrown around, not the last time, but a couple coaches ago. I believe the Ron Kruger hire, Bob Huggins' name came up. And Huggy, he got the job done at Cincinnati. He was a fantastic coach there. He went to K-State for a little bit. He brought in some incredible, had Michael Beasley, who I think was a college player of the year while Huggins was at K-State. And now he's at West Virginia. He's taking them to a Final Four, where he got them really close. Did he get them? I'm trying to think.
Cincinnati got to a Final Four. I don't believe he's gotten West Virginia to a Final Four, but he very well might have once.
I'm confusing him with John Beilein, who left West Virginia and then took Michigan to the Final Four.
Correct. You might be, but yeah.
You know, I mean, just a great coach. I mean, the guy wins. And you know what? He had some issues, but he seems to have put them behind him. He's winning games at West Virginia. West Virginia now has beaten Baylor and Kansas.
Yeah. This is a good team, and they're one of the most sound defensive teams in the country right now. And West Virginia is going to be a problem, provided they stay healthy. They are going to be a problem for their opponents when they get to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And they're one of those teams that you get matchup, and you say, oh, damn it. Because you know this guy is a great coach and a great postseason coach. He prepares his team by scheduling games, preparing them for the postseason, and he's in a pretty good conference. And like I said, when you can beat Kansas four straight times, a school with the tradition, history of Canvas, a very well-coached, fundamentally sound team by Bill Self down there, you're doing something right. And in West Virginia, something right's being done. They got a hell of a basketball program. And like I said, it's time that we start recognizing this guy is one of the elite coaches in college basketball. You can say that we do, but a lot of people don't. When you mention who's the top coaches, you do not hear his name thrown around nearly enough, and it should be much more. That's
yeah.
my...
Yeah, I agree. You know, he consistently gets the job done. You know, and he can win anywhere he goes. I mean, I think that's just really the way...
And 54 seconds!
The way it is. I mean, he just gets the job done. And you know what? West Virginia, they're probably not a team that you want to see in that first or second round.
Nope, they're not. And real quickly, I'm almost out of time, but UNLV, of course, falls to San Jose State 66-63 yesterday. They were up by 9 points at the half. They were up by as many as 13 in the second half. Another 8-minute drought with no points. Unbelievable shooting from the charity stripe, almost 90%. But in the second half, it was all their scoring was coming from the charity stripe. I still don't know what's happened to Terrell Green and Jalen Poizer since the Mountain West Conference has started. 13 games into the season, Terrell Green would have been the MVP on this team. This guy can't hit the broadside of a barn from 3 feet away anymore. The confidence is shot, and the other guy, Chris Clyburn, at the beginning of the season, I thought he was going to be their best player. These three need to pick up their game if they're going to get going. It's nice to see the progression and growth of Zion Morgan. I've liked that a great deal. Check the belly is, I think, the most coachable guy on this team, but they got to figure something out, man. This team might not win another game. I mean, what I saw yesterday was putrid. They cannot put two halves together. Hey, listen, we're out of time. This is Out of Line. Don't forget, next Sunday we will be live at Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, right over by Centennial Hills Hospital. Come on out. The show's live from 8 to 9. We'll be there in the afternoon for the Super Bowl. Would love to have you. So much to give away. Specials, it's going to be great. Mags, unfortunately, will be here pushing the buttons, but me and Chris Wynn will be down there. Please come join us. Again, Out of Line every Sunday morning, 8 to 9 a.m. here on Fox Sports Radio, 1340. We enjoy you, and do me a favor. If you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like the show, tell them anyways. We'll be here next week. Thanks to Magnum. And, hey, we'll get Eric Kramer on. Don't worry about it. I got a lot to talk about with him down the road. This is Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. We'll talk to you next week.